Welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Dr. Andy Jones, and I'll be your host for the coming hour. Very much looking forward to a conversation about theater, performance, multimedia, creative expression, and your opportunity to see evidence of all of the above. For in this coming hour, I have a number of artists, directors, actors, performers here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn, and we're going to be talking about some productions coming up that are sponsored by the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of California at Davis. Also, in the final moments of this hour, we will hear about Heather McHugh. She is a widely respected and well-regarded poet whose new book of poetry was just reviewed in The New Yorker. We'll hear a couple poems by Heather McHugh and an excerpt from that review. That and some jazz bumper music, a great number of voices, many things to entertain you. During this coming hour of everybody's favorite poetry and technology program, it's a theater edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Sticking around. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. That last track that you heard was Woody Herman and his orchestra presenting us The Good Earth. It's from a CD, a compilation CD called The Jazz Arranger, featuring Oliver Nelson, Claude Thornhill, Woody Herman, Gene Krupa, and Jerry Mulligan. We'll be hearing some more of those famous jazz musicians. This from 1946 to 1963, later in the program. But first, I'd like to tell you that there are six new folks who have joined me down here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn. I'm going to introduce you to a couple of them and then ask the rest to introduce themselves. Sitting rather close to the microphone is Granada Artist-in-Residence, Guillermo Gomez-Pena. He's a MacArthur Fellow, writer, and performance artist, and he's conducting an intensive workshop at the Department of Theater and Dance leading up to the latest version of his performance installation event called Corpo Ilícito. Ilícito, of course. The Post-Human Society 6.9. In this walkthrough piece, some audience members will be invited to participate. So let me first ask you to say hello to everyone at home, MacArthur Fellow Guillermo Gomez Peña.
Well, how are you? It's a pleasure to be here in UC Davis as a quote-unquote Granada artist in residence.
And where are you coming from most recently?
Well, I was in Europe touring with my troupe, La Pocha Nostra, before I came back to California and moved to UC Davis, essentially, to work on a five-week residency with students and faculty, you know, in the making of a kind of operatic performance art piece. And I'm here with my beloved sister, Sarah Shelton Mann.
And let me introduce her now. Sarah Shelton Mann is here. She's taught, performed, and created performance since 1967, and her work is interdisciplinary in nature, text-driven, and built in a language of intensely raw physicality that mirrors the gritty and layered nature of human interaction. Sarah Shelton Mann, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm very honored to be a Granada artist.
It's wonderful to have you here, and the microphone can catch you wherever. If you want to sit down, you're welcome to.
I can sit down, or I can.
Sure.
I'm negotiating the microphone here.
Whatever you'd like to do. And let me ask you the same question I asked Guillermo. Where have you come from most recently?
Well, I am based out of San Francisco, and I just finished a wonderful project in San Diego, California, and then with an international group in Germany, Polish, Italian, American, and German, and performed at the Potsdamer International Festival of Theater and Dance, and it was quite an interesting experience.
Excellent. Yeah. Good for you. Well, welcome to you both, and you've brought an entourage with you, and I want to hear from them momentarily. All I need is my magic piece of paper with everyone's name on it, and then I'll be all set. So let's start with Frank. Frank, you want to come on up to the microphone? Tell me, Frank, how does one pronounce your last name?
Ataba.
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 And it says here that you're a traditional African historian from Ghana, West Africa, and presently a graduate student in dance.
Yeah.
Welcome. Welcome to UC Davis.
Thank you.
And how was it that you chose UC Davis for the work that you do?
UC Davis, out of many schools I applied for in America, happened to give me admission, so that's why I ended up here.
Excellent. A very good reason. And welcome to California, and welcome to UC Davis.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to hear from everyone now so that people at home get a sense of all the voices, and then we'll start the conversation. Tyler's back. Tyler, how do I pronounce your name?
Tyler Aish.
Tyler Aish is back. He's been on this program before. He's a very tall dance artist and UC Davis student who regular listeners might remember. Combines with dance his love of landscape architecture. Tyler, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Tell me about your relationship in part with some of the works that we're going to talk about during this hour.
Well, I'm in Sarah Shelton Mann's piece, Tribes, the Unified Field. I'm a dancer in her piece, but I think that term is used loosely, seeing how everybody in Sarah's piece is more of just a general performer, and just different things from just dancing to improvisation to singing to being a musician. So really kind of a jack of all talents.
Right. Excellent. Well, good. I'm very pleased that you're here and that you could join us and tell us about your work. I have a few more questions for you in a moment.
Okay.
But let's see who else is here in the studio. Do you want to introduce yourself to folks at home?
Hey there. My name is Brian Livingston. I'm also a graduate student here at UC Davis studying in the theater and dance department with an emphasis in acting.
Excellent. Thanks very much for coming, Brian. You and I talked in a different setting last week. What are you most excited about in terms of your work here at UC Davis?
I really like the rigor and kind of the, getting kind of put through the mill of the educational and academic system. I've been a performing artist, actor, and teacher in San Francisco for many years and work with my theater company, Fool's Fury, in San Francisco. And it's been a great respite to come here and just kind of get a bunch more engines going in my artistic process.
Excellent. And so they have very high expectations for you academically as well as with regard to productivity.
Absolutely. You know, I'm teaching a full class of my own here to the undergrads and am, you know, continually reading all sorts of new material that I haven't been exposed to and research and getting a lot of performance opportunities. And this is kind of a rich one to be doing this with Guillermo and Sarah and the Granada Artists in Residence program that they have here at Davis.
Absolutely. Good. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And we've got one voice that we haven't heard from. Why don't you come up and introduce yourself to people at
home? Hi, I'm Sam. I'm in the Navy. I'm a construction mechanic. Mm-hmm. And I am extremely excited to be in Sarah's piece, which is Tribes, because I have not been on stage for almost 2 years. I have just been choreographing. And it is actually really, really exciting to be a part of something, a part of a tribe, especially now that we have people from Malaysia, we have people from China, we have people from all over the place, and we're all speaking different languages and trying to understand each other. Even though, like, our choreographer speaks English, it's just amazing.
Excellent. So we'll get a chance to see how you're able to communicate across the kind of translinguistic barriers and obstacles that might present themselves. Well, folks, you've got a sense of the characters. Now we're going to engage in a conversation after a quick musical break and also an important public service announcement. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and we're talking about some very exciting productions that are coming up, sponsored by the Department of Theater and Dance at the University of California at Davis. If you want to find out more, head over to theateranddance.ucdavis.edu. If you want to find out more about this station, head over to kdvs.org. We'll be right back with more conversations with our artists in residence here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. This is Claude Thornhill and his orchestra with La Paloma. We're talking about theater this afternoon on the Dr. Andy Show. And I'd like to remind you that the next voice that you hear will be that of Granada artist-in-residence Guillermo Gomez Peña. He's a MacArthur Fellow, a writer and performance artist, and he's conducting an intensive workshop at the Department of Theater and Dance leading up to the latest version of his performance installation event called Corpo Ilícito, the Post-Human Society 6.9. Many people on campus are very excited about this event, which begins on Wednesday, November 18th. So that is, what, a week from tonight? And goes until the 21st, that Saturday, and then also on Sunday the 21st. Showtimes in the evening, Wednesday through Saturday, are 8 p.m. There will also be a Sunday matinee. And although there will be a matinee, we should warn you right up front that this production may contain nudity, adult language, and blatant sexuality. So, parents, be warned. The rest of you may be excited. All right.
And grandmas get very excited.
All right. Welcome back, Guillermo. And tell me a little bit more about this production. Is it something that you had a vision for before you came to UC Davis? And how was that vision complemented by the people you got to work with here?
Well, I direct these really interesting troupe of international performance artists called La Pocha Nostra, which is based in San Francisco, but it has chapters, you know, throughout the U.S., Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. And it's essentially a loose association of rebel artists working in different media, you know, performance artists, ex-actors, ex-dancers, electronic composers, filmmakers, people who didn't quite fit in their monodiscipline and who found a kind of sanctuary in the work that we do. And the last production of La Pocha Nostra is called Corpo Ilícito, the illegal body, and it's all about the demonization of the brown body, the queer body, the female body, the immigrant body, all the bodies of difference that were not sanctioned by the Bush administration since 9/11. And this legacy is still with us in the form of kind of like spiritual parasites and a lingering fog in our streets and institutions. And in many ways, it is our job as artists to exorcise it. You know, when UC Davis invited me to be part of this residency, I decided to utilize the Corpo Ilícito backdrop as a way to as a framing device for the making of a new piece. The piece we are creating, it's actually a performance opera. It is a huge performance event that takes place in the main stage, involving 8 actors, 1 choreographer, 3 performance artists, a video artist, and a group of a set, costume, light, and sound designers. Altogether, we have probably a crew of maybe 30 people working. It's very ambitious. It's only been made in 4 weeks and a half. And all the live images and metaphors, visual metaphors that the audience will experience, are the collaborative result of the workshop. You know, the audience should expect a very quirky and unusual performance, you know, where they are not going to be seated peacefully on the theater. They're going to be on their feet, walking from station to station and experiencing a total artwork and a barrage of poetic, embodied live images that attempt clumsily to articulate our despair and our sense of hope. And so essentially this is what we're up to here in Davis.
And it's interactive, and it's also like a grand sampler of so many different forms of performance and media work, kind of an introduction to varied creative projects all wrapped up into one.
In many ways, the audience should not expect a quote-unquote finished and polished performance, mm-hmm. but rather a very wild jam session where 15 artists are going to be making decisions on site, utilizing their bodies as a kind of site for political reinvention and poetic prophesizing. And so the audience will be actually witnesses to the making of an artwork on site. So therefore, every night will be entirely different. So those who come on Wednesday night will have a very different experience from those who come on Thursday night, and so on and so forth.
In terms of your performers and your artists, I imagine that you have to teach them differently from how they're used to be taught when it comes to preparing for a theatrical performance because of the improvisational requirements and elements of the production.
Well, I would like to invite my compadre, Brian, to talk about this, you know, from the perspective of a workshop participant. You know, I would like to politely ask you to tell us, you know, what are the border crossings that you have experienced between the methodology of our workshop and your usual theater practice.
All right. And this is Brian, and it's Brian Livingston.
Yes.
Here's Brian Livingston.
God, that's such a big question. It's kind of like jumping off a diving board and not knowing if there's any water in the pool.
Yeah.
A little bit of what we're kind of doing. And, you know, it's been a real joy to work with such a different group of people. There's so many different cultures involved, genders, age groups. You know, we have undergrads, graduates, people working on their doctoral theses, and faculty even involved in the performance. And it's just been kind of a rich array of that. I'm not sure how to answer the question. I just know that it's a really rigorous process. Like it takes a lot for me to even come into rehearsal to be able to be available for the work that Guillermo's asking us to do, and you know, to bring all of our personal aesthetics and our personal political interests, and just a really remarkable sense of play amongst all the people, and a really sense of trust. And like Guillermo just said, these kind of border crossings, like where's the limit and how do we step over it? And if we have stepped over it, if we want to go back, how do we renegotiate the border again?
Because in many ways, I feel that performance is a form of radical democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a clumsy form of radical democracy. And the basic assumption is, if you can cross certain borders within the gallery space, within the theater space, you may be inspired to cross them in the larger social universe. So the rehearsal room becomes a micro-universal metaphor for the larger body politic.
And so you hope in part to teach independence and independent thought and independent response to stimuli.
Shao, critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We want to contribute to the making of rebel artists, autonomous artists, independent-minded intellectuals. So in many ways, the process is first and foremost about radical pedagogy and a pedagogy of liberation.
Wonderful. Brian, did you want to add something?
Well, just along those lines, there's this interesting, early on in the process, Guillermo kind of posed to us, he goes, look, you know, I'm a director, this is my pedagogy and my methodology, but what we're doing here is we're working on a non-hierarchical structure. That is, there's not somebody at the top and working down. Like, everybody is on an equal playing field. The art's on an equal playing field. The music is. People's political opinions. Everything is very inclusive, and there's nobody to look up for or to be responsible to besides yourself. And that requires a tremendous amount of individual autonomy, and that's been kind of a great gift to harness and work on that in this.
So as an actor, performer, participant, what are some additional ways that you prepared? In other words, did you do other additional reading on current events or political issues? Was it mostly self-reflection? You talked about being daunted to go into rehearsal every day. What was it that daunted you, and how did you respond to that?
I think it's that, you know, I and the rest of the participants are digging really into our personal garbage and also, like, our personal beauty as well. And so, mm-hmm. you know, coming in being like, I want to work on this, you know, political dichotomy between, you know, like one that Guillermo gave us was between, like, pop iconography and religious, you know, fundamentalism. And, like, how do those kind of things combine? Or
immigration, a big mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. The Obama era. Can we talk back to Obama? Are artists on the side of Obama? Is right. Obama too overwhelmed with other issues? You know, will he take care of our educational institutions and our cultural institutions? Which other issues?
Which is having emerged along those. I got really interested in the project just in the sense of that you kind of posed it as we're kind of all shell shocked as artists from this Bush era mm-hmm. Policies and social programs and the social contract that he tried to write here in the country and how to kind of get out of that shell shock and to kind of reclaim the artist's role in society and just thinking along the lines of, you know, even I get the sense, not having been to Europe in a while, but the Europeans were kind of laughing at us and not inviting us over to that world or anywhere else in the world to come and make our art.
So how to join the larger conversation, a conversation that we have been ousted from thanks to George Bush.
Yeah. Well, kind of reintroducing ourselves to the world community has been a theme of the Obama administration, and that's a little bit about what you're talking about, but also with an artist's sense of skepticism towards any political leader, I suppose, especially when it comes to protecting educational and cultural institutions. Yeah. So,
absolutely. In many ways, there is many unspoken projects that we all have to undertake. The journalists, the intellectuals, the poets, the performance artists, the dancers, you know. We have to rebuild our institutions from zero. We have to reconcile amongst races and genders, reconcile with the neighbors to the south, with the Latin Americans and our northern neighbors, the Canadians, who are also angry at us. Mm-hmm. We have to return to Europe and tell the European arts communities, we are back. Let us sit at your table. You know, we also have to do a lot of spiritual healing as a nation. And the only way we can do it is through the arts and through a good educational system. You know, so there is all these pending issues that we have to engage in, and in many ways, Sara is tackling a lot of these issues from a different perspective, from the perspective of a radical choreographer who is tired of pretty dance mm-hmm. and who is interested of joining the conversation as a dancer and as a writer.
Excellent. Well, we're going to get to Sara next, but let me remind folks that we have been chatting with Guillermo Gomez-Pena. He's a MacArthur Fellow, writer, and performance artist who is one of the guiding forces behind Corpo Illicito, the Post-Human Society 6.9. I'd like to remind you that if you'd like to see this particular show, it's a double bill of Corpo Illicito with a show called Tribes, The Unified Field. That was created and directed by Granada artist-in-residence Sara Shelton Mann, from whom we'll hear in just a moment. But I wanted to let you know that this upcoming show will be at the main theater at UC Davis, beginning a week from tonight at 8 p.m., and then going through that Saturday, shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8 o'clock, and then a matinee Sunday at 2 p.m., and as I mentioned before, these productions may contain nudity, adult language, and blatant sexuality, so be advised. We're going to take a quick musical break. We're going to hear an important message, and then when we return, we will rejoin the conversation with none other than Sara Shelton Mann, one of the Granada artists in residence here at the University of California at Davis. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. At half past the hour, I'd like to tell you that you can now recycle your television set or computer monitor at the Yolo County Central Landfill for free. For more information about the Electronic Waste Recycling Act, visit www.erecycle.org. I'm very pleased to have Sarah Shelton Mann here in the studio. She is one of the Granada artists in residence who will be presenting the fruits of her labor and that of her many students and collaborators starting a week from tonight. Sarah Shelton Mann, as I mentioned before, has taught, performed, and created performance since 1967. Her work is interdisciplinary in nature, text-driven, and built in a language of intensely raw physicality that mirrors the gritty and layered nature of human interaction. I'm very pleased that she could join me here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn. Sarah Shelton Mann, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, and I want to thank Guillermo for speaking so eloquently, and Brian, and that's a hard act to follow.
That was wonderful to hear, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that, and I want to hear more about your production. It's called Tribes, the Unified Field, and before we get started, I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the title and the extent to which it will help people to anticipate the content of the show.
Okay, well, names come to me, and then I work with the name or the title to find out what it means, what it's about, and it draws the community, and it draws the questions, and it draws the healing for me and others. And so about 2.5 years ago, this word tribes came to me, so I went to Waikiki, of course, and started looking it up and did not like what I found. And so I kept, you know, I just kept putting it out there, and then I found that I have this 45-year research work of my own that's actually a performance training. And so I started to just teach people that training and found that the work came out of it, and then I was put into situations where I would be working with people from other cultures. And sometimes living with them, working 7 hours a day, and then taking this work to festivals. And the cultural conversation brought up people's belief systems, their different ages, their different religions, their different education, their different desires for the future. So it really created a tribe or a community in which people really had to buy in at the deepest level to do personal work and to also bring that on stage. So I started bringing both what I would call the transcendent states and the cathartic states and the blocks of the performers and actually putting them on stage and asking them if they would be willing to stand as a surrogate for the collective. And that would have a ripple effect out into the community. Because what I have done, and in a way still do, is I aim to create a condensed consciousness of information and communication in a space that permeates the performers and the audience, that brings up questions both around social justice, around political belief systems and activities, around religion, spirituality, the environmental destruction of the planet, and to do it in both a very clear, direct, and also poetic way. So I wanted to try this experience in an educational setting, and I got just what I asked for. People that are not citizens of this country, most of them. And some of these people speak 5 languages.
Yeah.
And so over time, the skills and talents began to be revealed. And the piano, juggling, saxophone, singing, drumming. And so the conversation is a musical conversation. It's a poetic conversation. And if we could spend 7 hours a day rehearsing and then go out and have dinner and then meditate or whatever, hang out, go to the river, have a walk, then there would be much more of an intermixing and interlayering of the cultures of all of us to create what I would call this unified field, this grid of luminosity of consciousness, to bring it to a higher frequency. But we're jammed into that space from 6 to 11, and you should just see the joy and the life. I mean, people are learning new skills. They're doing things they have never done before. And you're going to see some people up in the air, and maybe they'll be screaming because they've never been up in the air before, because my language, my movement language, is actually a scripted language. It's a language of communication that communicates not as a two-dimensional surface or a modern dance codified style. I have a lot of... I'm a healer. I mean, I don't heal anything, but I have a lot of work in somatics and dowsing and psychic work and energetic training. So I believe in this Morse code of the cellular information in the body, and that it can be trained to be a high-level instrument of even what I would call divine fire that burns the dross. And that's what I'm about, and that's what I'm after.
Wow. So an intense experience then for the theater goer, spiritual as well as artistic, international as well as cultural, and challenging preconceptions, and in multiple languages. Will we hear multiple languages?
Yes, you will.
All right. I hate to give too much away, but what about attempts with dance and movement to represent the variety of cultures that you're talking about? Could you speak to that a little bit?
That's talking about the impossibility of making a dance, which Guillermo and I talked about. It's like, Sara, you should get on stage with a microphone and talk about the impossibility of making a dance. It's impossible to make a dance. It's actually, unless you have a company and you have a codified language, and so here we have this situation in which people have all these different skills, and they're going from chemistry to dance class to PE to English lit, you know, from one class to another. It's an ADD culture, you
right.
know, and so I would actually like to turn the microphone over to... Sam, Frank, and Tyler. Bam, 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 to see what they have to say about it.
All right, great. Well, in appropriately ADD style, then, we're going to hear from multiple voices now. And I'll remind you that all of these voices represent performers who will take part in Tribes, the Unified Field, one of a double bill of shows that start a week from this evening at the main theater at UC Davis. That's on Wednesday, the 18th of November, going until Saturday, the 21st, and then a show at 2 p.m. on Sunday, the 22nd. Starting a week from tonight, you'll be able to see this show. All right. Great. Sam, your name came up first, so let's hear from you. Tell us about some of the work that you do in this show.
Well, I used to be a very flamenco trained dancer. It ended up being into me moving my arms a lot and then doing steps that Sarah told me to do, which were like really fast movement on my hips rather than just like staying still and singing. And then working with other people who are very ballet trained or modern dance trained, and working with Tyler, who actually like picks me up and just throws me around.
Right.
So it's like,
because he can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him do that on stage before.
Okay, I have to intersect here. Sam is on a table. She is doing a table dance.
Yeah.
Downstage center, we have classical Indian and classical Mango, and we have a modern dance, and we have African dance, and we have... wait a minute. There's something else I want to say.
We have
that's what I was saying. It's like this thing called the fish, and they inform me, no, that's the worms here. All I had to say was, well, it's in the show. Okay, Frank.
All right. All right. So, Frank, let's hear from you. As we spoke of at the top of the hour, if people are just joining us, you're a traditional African historian from Ghana and now a graduate student in dance at UC Davis.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of your work or what you brought to this show, which is called Tribes, the Unified Field.
First of all, I'm very grateful to be here in California, grateful to be in Davis, UC Davis, which I think is a very great faculty. I'm very honored to be in Sarah's production, The Tribe, which to me talks a lot about community. Community in the sense that I'm coming from a background where communal living is our way of life. You know, we would say the prerequisite to our being is a broad activity of drumming and dancing. And I see that in Sarah's production. So that really makes me feel so much at home, you know, simply because we have people from all sort of different backgrounds, different ethnic groups, different mentality, and we all being in the same room or being in the same rehearsal space and trying to communicate using our body as a medium of movement vocabulary to communicate, I think is a very awesome thing to do. In Tribe, I'm a drummer, I'm a dancer, I'm an actor, I'm a singer, and we all do everything. We all collaborate, we all relate to each other, and we all collaborate in one great production.
Wonderful. So the skills that you bring, the background that you bring from Ghana, became an important and integral part of the show then.
Yeah. Very, very important. And also the other skills I've also been able to learn or see from other colleagues in the production, you know, one way or the other, is also helping me also to develop as a choreographer, as a dance historian, and as a better human being. You know, because I believe the more you move and you relate to other people from different backgrounds, the better person you become by trying to understand them.
And I'm sure you had a lot to teach as well to your colleagues up on stage.
I would say so.
You can be a modest for just a moment, Sarah.
Yeah, I just want to say I think Frank is a gift to me. I think I must have prayed for Frank in a former life or right before I got here, because he talked about in his culture that they sing to each other, they say hello to each other, every single person in the community, in the tribe, in the morning, and he taught us that, a new way of saying hello, and that singing is, you know, is very, very important. And the sense of the power, you know, the power of the voice. And I used to work with a full band, but I have been also looking for this sense of a deeper connection to humanity and people who live in different parts of the world. And so Frank has definitely been a big part of bringing that. So he's a very integral kind of through line and a speaker for the global world.
Wonderful. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. We're going to hear from Tyler Aish in just a moment. But first, I wanted to share with you this important message. And that's this. Rabbi Shula Stevens reminds the women of our community to have screening mammograms at recommended intervals. Today's low-dose, state-of-the-art mammography can detect tumors too small to be discovered by touch. Don't delay. Early diagnosis can mean that you'll have a better than 95% chance of successful treatment. This message is a courtesy of Rabbi Shula Stevens, a certified spiritual teacher and pastoral counselor serving the greater Sacramento area. She may be reached at 619-442-7315 on the air because she cares about the health of the women in our community. Dancer and landscape architect Tyler Aish is here. I've seen him throw dancers around, carry them at great heights before, up on stage at the main theater at UC Davis. And now we'll all have a chance to see all that again for this coming Wednesday, a week from tonight, will be the premiere of something called Tribes, the Unified Field. It's written and directed by Granada artist-in-residence Sarah Shelton Mann. And Tyler Aish will be part of that program. Tyler, welcome back.
Thank you, Andy.
Tell me a little bit about what you have offered Tribes, the Unified Field.
Well, I think that what I've offered is a little dose of, dynamic modern movement, given the characters that Sarah... that they evolved in our rehearsal processes, that there's nobody's doing the same dance movement and she doesn't bring in her own codified language, but I know that she has one, and every choreographer has their own aesthetic for movement. But Sarah does what she calls Sarah fishing, where she'll see things, or she'll give us tasks, and then our results are layered over to each other. And so the energy isn't in the movement, it's in the relationship between the people, between the tribe members. Sam spoke earlier about doing a flamenco-like movement, and then I do a lot of, I guess, dancey dance, contemporary dance movement, and then Frank does a lot of traditional African dance. But it's the that feeling that you get when all these are layered in space, which creates this entirely new kind of experience. Yeah.
that's great. And we were talking before about the pleasure of being a potential audience member for this show. But you must have learned a lot from this production as a participant.
Yeah, definitely.
You want to say something about that?
Yeah, I mean, my goal in life is to one day be a choreographer, just like Sarah. And the thing is that what I was used to is the way the choreographers work is that they have their language, and then you just teach your dancers, and you're just kind of this dictator to make everybody execute your artistic idea. But working with Sarah is kind of like functional communism, in that, you know, we all have this big... this result that we have to create, and we're all depending on each other, and we're all given tasks, and we create tasks for each other. And I don't know, there's never just one moment where you just focus on one person. It's, you know, there's not one person, it's a group, it's a tribe, and that's definitely evident in viewing the performance.
That's wonderful. I'm sure that Sarah expected you to bring some enthusiastic modern dancing, but were there other skills that she discovered that would not have been self-evident that we'll get to see on stage a week from tonight? Sarah, you want to say something about that?
Basically, I went in and said, okay, show me what you can do. I don't have a clue how we're going to make this show. And because I'm used to working with highly trained professional dancers from different styles, yes, but they come to me for the next step. What do you do, you know, with your highly trained skill? How do you start to make a difference? How do you start to speak your own language and work with other people and work beyond, really beyond the dance field? And so I just remember standing there and it's like, okay, what can you do? And it has just evolved into the most ecstatic experience. And when you walk into a rehearsal and you now see these people in a state of joy, learning from each other, that is bliss. Yeah.
Wonderful. Sam, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think my favorite night was when she said, don't do modern dance. It's looking like modern dance. Because it was too much turning, too much jumping, too much... trying to be these contemporary dancers that we are, because that's what we learn here at college.
Right.
And then she's like, don't do it. Do what you know how to do. And we're like, that's okay.
Right. Well, part of what you're describing is also the work of the poet, and that is to avoid cliche, avoid the expected, to surprise and delight an audience. And so if you do only what you've been taught, it'll be difficult to represent that well. Guillermo, you want to jump in here on this topic?
Well, yes. I mean, in many ways, the kind of work that both Corpo Ilícito and Tribes does is a form of poetics, a form of embodied poetics, the poetics of the body. How can you utilize your body as a living metaphor to articulate the complexities and the perils of our times? So what you said is completely to the point. We are trying to create living, live, pulsating, sweating poetry.
Excellent. Well, as a big fan of poetry myself, I'm going to check out this show. I want to remind you that it opens a week from tonight at the Main Theater on the UC Davis campus. If you want to find out more about purchasing tickets, you may visit mondaviarts.org. You could also just Google Theater and Dance at UC Davis, and you will soon find out more about these two productions that we've been discussing. Corpo Ilícito, the Post-Human Society 6.9, created and directed by Granada artist-in-residence Guillermo Gomez Peña, and Tribes, the Unified Field, created and directed by Granada artist-in-residence Sarah Shelton Mann. I'm very pleased that they could both come down here along with a healthy percentage of the casts of both shows. Thanks to all six of you for coming down and giving us a preview of these two great productions on today's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you.
Thank,
yeah.
thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Gracias, Bartolomé.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick musical break. And remember, this show opens a week from tonight and lasts just until the weekend. So that would be your opportunity to check it out. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear some Elliot Lawrence and his orchestra. Covenant Church of the Nazarene reminds us that we're all a bit concerned about driving during the holidays due to the number of people who may be drinking and driving. Remember that concern before you have one for the road. Take care of yourself and others, and don't drink and drive. This important message is a courtesy of the New Covenant Church of the Nazarene in Sacramento. Information about their Sunday services is available at 916-383-2030. On the air, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday season. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. That great pair of productions, Corpo Elicito, the Posthuman Society 6.9, and Tribes, the Unified Field, they open a week from tonight and last until Sunday. Hopefully my wife, Kate, will be convinced to join me at one of those productions. Maybe I'll see you there. But I won't be there on opening night. For on opening night, which is a week from tonight, the 18th, I'll be seeing a reading by Pam Houston as part of Bistro 33's Poetry Night. You might know that Pam Houston is the author of two collections of linked short stories, Cowboys Are My Weakness, which was winner of the 1993 Western States Book Award and has been translated into 9 languages, and Waltzing the Cat, which won the Willa Award for Contemporary Fiction. The stories of Pam Houston have been selected for the Best American Short Stories, the O. Henry Awards, the Pushcart Prize, and the Best American Short Stories of the Century. A collection of essays, A Little More About Me, was published by Norton in the fall of 1999. Pam Houston will be reading from her work a week from tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night, starting at 9 o'clock. And I believe we have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, I'm wanting to know roughly how long the performances that start next Wednesday will last, and which one comes first?
That is a good question. The performers have left the building, but I do believe that Corpo Illicito, the Post-Human Society 6.9, will come first, followed by Tribes, the Unified Field. Although it was not reported to me how long they would last, I know with all of that dancing, jumping, running, and bongo playing, I would expect the two together to be no more than 2.5 hours with an intermission between the two. But that's just an educated guess. I don't know definitively. And as we might have heard from the conversation that was going on, parts of those productions were still being created. And so I'd say that the length of those two shows may vary from performance to performance.
Yeah, I would suspect so. I checked out the website, and Tribes was mentioned first. So, but you think the other Corpo Illicito will come first? Yes, I'm from out of town, and I want to make sure that I make Corpo Illicito.
I would too. You know, I know who you can contact about that, for that information, and that is Janice Bisgaard, B-I-S-G-A-A-R-D, and her phone number is 530-752-5863.
752-5863.
That's right.
And that's a daytime phone number?
That's a daytime phone number. If you want to reach her via email, it's jbisgaard, B-I-S-G-A-A-R-D, at ucdavis.edu.
That's what I'll do.
Great.
Thank you very much.
And maybe I'll see you in the audience during one of those productions next week.
It would probably be the Sunday matinee. That's the only one I would have a chance to get to. I'm from Nevada City, but I just heard the hour on the radio.
Wasn't it a great conversation? I'm really looking forward to the shows.
Yeah, yeah. I have been in love with the voice of Mr. Gomez Pena for years. Will he be performing, do you know? Will he be part of the performance or just simply the director and writer?
I don't know, but that would be another question.
Janice Bisgaard might not know that, too.
I bet she would.
And that's ucdavis.org is the at after the, that's the domain name?
It's ucdavis.edu.
.edu. Okay.
All right.
Very good. Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening to KDVS.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, a great number of opportunities. I'd also like to remind everyone listening at home that we had cast members and directors from Macbeth, which is going to be performed starting tonight at the Social Sciences and Humanities Building. If you'd like to find out more about that production, which begins at 8 o'clock tonight, then I encourage you to Google Macbeth Studio 301. I'd also like to remind you that if you head over to that show, please be advised that this is an outdoor production and therefore long johns and perhaps a blanket would not be inappropriate for you to bring with you, as it would be inappropriate to a great number of, say, Broadway shows that you would go see, except when you're going to see David Letterman, because he also keeps the theater very cold. Hey, you've been listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. And I hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd like to thank my guests. Guillermo Gomez Pena does have a remarkable voice. He's a Mexican writer, performance artist, and Granada fellow. And he's directing Corpo Illicito. It's a performance opera with students and faculty. And also Sarah Shelton Mann, also an artist and a Granada fellow. She'll be directing the Unified Field with students, also called Tribes, the Unified Field. We heard from Frank, from Tyler, from Sam, and from Brian, a great number of energetic, multinational, and young voices that will be a part of those two productions starting a week from tonight. Also a week from tonight, Pam Houston will be reading at Bistro 33. Tonight begins Macbeth in the Studio 301 production, and that goes for the next 2 weeks. And tomorrow, let me just tell you, tomorrow at the Arboretum at noon at the Wyatt Deck, you'll get to see Sondra Gilbert read her poetry. Sondra Gilbert is the author of more than a dozen books, including such seminal titles of feminist literary criticism as Mad Woman in the Attic and No Man's Land. She's the co-editor of the Norton Anthology of Literature by Women. She's former president of the Modern Language Association, author of a great number of books of poetry, and an inspiration to undergraduates and graduate students here at UC Davis, and before that, at Princeton and other places for many years. Sondra Gilbert is professor emerita at UC Davis, and she'll be reading her poetry tomorrow at noon at the Arboretum. So if you're able and if you're interested, you should go check out that particular show. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks to all of you who listened all through the hour. Make sure that you stick around. Why? Because DJ Springy is in the house, and he's got a show called Time to Get Away, which is bound to interest and enthuse you if you are interested in music. Chances are, if you're listening to the radio, you love music. My name is Andy Jones, and you've been listening to a very theatrical, multivocal, and international edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week.